God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Oh, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. I'm going to be taking a look at Does It Take a Village to Raise a Child? Also, taking a look at wonderful selfless gifts as well. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Yeah, I am just getting warmed up. Thanks for taking time to tune in to the program. Again, you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Last time I was with you, I was sharing just a bit about that phrase, takes a village to raise a child. Had a number of you contact me saying, hey, can you dig into that just a bit more? What are you talking about? I always thought that was good. Thought that was positive. Well, it can be. Well, we'll take some time and dig into that right now. Again, you can find us at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Friends, we have got to start understanding, start realizing that really our mindset matters. We need to, well, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, as it talks about in Romans 12, which states, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Again, you can have a biblical worldview mindset or a secular humanistic mindset. You can have a mindset of victory or a mindset of victimhood. You can have a mindset built on liberty or a mindset built in slavery. Literally, the choice truly is up to you. That's what's so awesome about Almighty God. Yes, he is sovereign. Friends, he also gives us free will. I don't understand all that. Don't claim to know it. But friends, we've all heard the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. And I would guess that most of you who are tuning in tonight, that you'd say, well, it's not only true, but it's great and encouraging. Well, I would dare to say probably not. Even though I really would like it to be positive. Friends, years ago, wonderful man discipled me for 2 years. He's no longer with us. He's in heaven. Incredible man. His name was Bill Hines. I was blessed to be discipled by him for 2 years while he went into retirement and wanted to keep working as a pastor for a bit. So our church hired him on, which was just a blessing for the church. But honestly, I at the time didn't realize how much of a blessing it was going to be to me, to sit under a man like that who was just bold, bold as a lion. Incredible. Friends, just incredible. He allowed me to not only make the claim to defend this phrase, it takes a village to raise a child, but then he allowed me to give him what I perceived as a good argument for it. And when I would give, you know, not just the phrase, but give the argument for it. I mean, literally, I remember it to this day. He would just sit in his chair and he'd throw up his hands and he'd throw them at me in frustration, going, and just shaking his head back and forth and throwing like, you young buck, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're thinking. Honestly, I was like, what? And then he asked me, do you know where that phrase came from? I said, well, the first time I personally heard this phrase was in the 1990s when Hillary Clinton was the first lady then to President Bill Clinton. Well, My discipler went on to tell me about, well, how his daughter, my discipler's daughter, had been a missionary in Africa. And how she had seen this African proverb being put into action. He told me that this phrase came from the fact that men and women were choosing not to get married. They were having sex with each other with no lifelong commitment at all. So when a child was born, no one knew who the father of the child was because the men and the women had been having sex with multiple partners. So the men were relinquishing their God-given responsibility and duty to raise and care for their child. Friends, this is why this African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child, it's why it exists and where it came from. Now, you don't have to like that, but that's the truth. And this is a huge issue with this phrase. In that context, this phrase actually goes directly against the word of God and is in a secular humanistic mindset. It goes against the institution of marriage between one man and one woman that Almighty God set up from almost the beginning of time. For those of you that don't believe that, well, Genesis 2, 21 through 25 states, "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his," oh, there's the word, "wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked and felt no shame." Friends, as time moves on and generation after generation continues, we can now see the very fruit of this phrase and its abhorrent mindset being put into place in our own society. Friends, not only are we seeing children being raised without fathers, but women are now without a husband to help raise these children and even be there for their grandchildren. It really is a vicious cycle that tends to be repeated over and over and over again. Now, friends, I know, well, I'm almost certain, I'll put it that way, that there are some hearing me right now who are probably upset with me so much. I mean, they got smoke coming out of their ears. And more than likely saying something like, "Well, I'm a teacher and I can help teach someone else's child. Or I don't have children, so are you saying it's bad to help someone with their child? Or that I can't help someone with their child?" Friends, don't hear what I'm not saying. I didn't say that at all. I am saying that ultimately, the God-given responsibility to raise children has been given to the parents of those children. It's something that we must understand. Again, the way forward is back. If we want to get our nation back on the right track, heading toward Almighty God, the biblical foundation needs to be not just put back into place, but adhered to. Unless a person has been living under a rock or just flat out ignoring reality. Friends, we can all see the dangerous fruit of this mindset taking over our nation. And before I move on, I want to challenge those of you who are right now, and I've had the conversations, those of you saying, "Well, we're like this because of the Bible. Because you were so throwing guilt at people and making them feel shameful." No, I didn't do that. Nope. I'm sorry if you don't like the truth. Truth is truth. It's not my truth. It's not your truth. It's directly from Almighty God. Again, friends, we can all see the dangerous fruit of this mindset of getting rid of God in our nation. Getting rid of God and his ways that he's put into place. Thumbing our nose at God, that it's dangerous. Not just in casual sex, but now in the rearing and teaching of children in our society. Friends, we're getting away from the biblical principle and God-ordained institution of one man and one woman marriage. Certainly hasn't done our society any favors. Not only mothers, but fathers, you are extremely important. I mean, truly, the way forward is back. We see in Ephesians 6, 1 through 9, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Friends, I encourage you, go read all of that text, Ephesians 6, 1 through 9, tonight. Colossians 3, starting in verse 15, we also see this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Friends, it goes on to say, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. And that's in Colossians 3, starting in verse 15 there. It says, do not keep silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Thanks for being with me here for the program. Again, you'll find us online also at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
In the mid-1990s, I had made a very pointed decision in my life that I was going to search for and seek out truth and go to wherever absolute truth would go, wherever it was going to lead me. You see, earlier as a young man, I had chosen my own path and decided not to follow Jesus Christ at all. What I did not realize at the time when I had made this decision was I actually had decided to get to know Jesus Christ more intimately than ever before in my lifetime. You see, in John 14:6, Jesus made the claim that he was the way, the truth, and the life. So, since I had already made the decision to go wherever truth was going to lead me, I had already, in essence, made the decision to search for and seek out Jesus Christ. To dig more into this, you'll find my blog post titled, The Search for Truth.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
We see in Acts 2 that it says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. Well, today I'd like to challenge you, dear listener, with having a biblical worldview mindset instead of having a mindset that's a secular humanistic worldview. You see, the choice really is yours to make. Are you putting your hope and trust and faith in a broken and I will call a slave-making system? Or are you putting your faith and hope and trust in Almighty God and his people, you know, the church? As you can hear from that text I shared earlier, the biblical answer is to look to God Almighty and his people. To dig more into this idea, go read my blog post titled, There Is a Better Way, Almighty God's Way, today.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Appreciate you being with me here for the program. Also, as we continue on, I wanted to share with you, well, something from someone that has taken some time and read the doctrines of Genesis, given us something to encourage you to hear about with this, an acknowledgement and just an endorsement for this new resource coming out that Charlie Wolcott's written. Again, the Doctrines of Genesis, available in paperback and Kindle at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Sometimes dreams do come true, writes Christopher Cernacki. In 2016, it was the year in question. Back then, he says, I had this thought, one that gripped me after making a list of 40 doctrines that I have their basis that have their basis in Genesis. I thought, wouldn't it be great if there was a theology textbook that showed that the book of Genesis is not only the origins account of the universe, but of the basic doctrines of the Christian church? Genesis introduces the Trinity, the power of God's word, and records the first prophecy given about the then coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Charlie Wolcott's The Doctrines of Genesis was an answer to that prayer from 2016. Beyond that, rather than being a dense textbook, The Doctrines of Genesis is a readable work, one you'll want to have on your bookshelf, whether you are a pastor looking for a cohesive work on doctrine or an apologist looking for a work that will definitely demonstrate the unimaginable importance of the book of Genesis. God's word is no less important today than when the canon closed with Revelation. And so what a better way to appreciate the whole account than by going back to the beginning. Indeed, the doctrines of Genesis is a tour de force and a dream come true for any apologist. Again, that's from the host from the Current Topics in Science podcast, Christopher Cernacki. And friends, I do encourage you to check that out. The Doctrines of Genesis, just incredible. It'll be available in paperback and Kindle. Again, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Doctrines of Genesis, it'll be available June 5th at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. We continue on here. Wanted to share with you, you know, just a little bit of my own testimony. In 1997, friends, I was able to marry my wonderful wife. And in 1998, our first child came into this world. A boy. Bouncing baby boy. We were so happy and just proud to be parents who were thankful to God for this amazing gift. Friends, my wife and I both were already believers in Jesus Christ, and we had decided long before this first child was born that we would be praying for him every single day. But how does one pray for someone that you haven't even met yet and who's not been born in the world? Well, friends, once we realized that my wife was pregnant, we talked and came to a decision that we would begin to pray for our child's salvation and sexual purity every day until this child was married. Friends, he's now 24 years old, and we continue to pray for him. Friends, we now have 6 children, 2 boys and 4 girls, and they range in ages 15 to 24. And my wife and I continue to pray to this day for our children to continue to work out their salvation in order to grow and to become mature and complete, not lacking anything, as well as for their spouses and for their sexual purity until they're married. We believe that praying together and coming in agreement to the Lord on this topic is very, very important. Friends, you need to be of one mind with your spouse. Wives, you need to be of one mind with your husband. Husbands, you need to be of one mind with your wife. As a house divided, is easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12 states this. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Friends, in a marriage, the three cords should be Almighty God, the husband, and the wife. A marriage founded upon God as the center of it cannot easily be broken. Husbands, be willing to lead by example. Love your wife as Christ loves the church. Admittedly, I am absolutely still working on this one. And for those of you who are single, I just want to encourage you. Husbands, or I should say, to be husbands. So young men, don't give up on looking for your spouse. And stay focused on Christ. Become to know not only who Christ is, but who Christ has made you to be. Don't worry about finding your wife simply because you need to know who you are in Christ. Allow your wife to be to get to know who she is in Christ as well. And then when you come together, you can be like that three-corded strand and not easily broken. Friends, we prayed for our son and read the Bible together before bed, long before he even understood what was going on. And then his brother came along 15 months later. We continued in reading the Bible, praying together, and singing a blessing over them every single night. Every night. Even though our son's friends have moved out, they're on their own now. We continue this routine to this very day. We pray for them daily. Have we missed some evenings? Oh, sure we have. And friends, that doesn't mean we need to be guilt-tripped. It doesn't mean we shame ourselves. I can tell you this, if we're all home, we still to this day continue to try to make it our nightly routine. It's a tradition in our home. Proverbs 22:6 is our guide in this, and we've decided to trust God in his good and right ways. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Admittedly, friends, many of our children are still growing up. Heck, even if they're out of the house. Now that we're at the ages that we are at, 18, 19, look, friends, if you're 18 or 19, we're not saying you're not an adult. I didn't say that. But there are still things you're learning. You're growing up. And even my wife and I are still learning things. Do we think our children will follow God in his good and right ways? Yeah, we do. Not just because we trust God, but because we trust our children too. Friends, a funny thing happened when our sons moved out. My wife and I realized that they have to make their own way now. Boy, was that hard to do. I mean, giving up control, fully trusting in Almighty God, and allowing your children to have complete freedom to make their own decisions for right or wrong. And that can be hard. But friends, it's the way it's eventually supposed to be. So, dear friends, as a parent, you have a choice to make. You can show the children God has given to you the ways of Almighty God, or you can show them different ways. You are the example that your children will see virtually every single day while they're growing up. Be thankful and appreciate the opportunity that God has given to you and your spouse to raise your children. Parents, I encourage you to take this responsibility very, very seriously. Your children will eventually leave your home and make their own lives. And friends, this is something that is very good. And while we wrap up here, I want to encourage your parents on something. My wife and I, after all these years, have come to realize, and we didn't get it all right all the time, but we've come to realize that, you know what? Wednesday nights for church is very important. Sunday mornings, going to worship services is very important as well. Some go to church on Sunday evenings. That's important as well. I can tell you this. Were there times we allowed our children to play a sport maybe on a Sunday? I think it happened. And I can tell you, we wish we would have made the other choice. Having them go to church services, hang out with godly people in that way. It's not that sports aren't important or doing something isn't important. It's teaching your children to obey God. To obey is better than sacrifice. I do thank you for tuning in to Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Dezurek, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. You go out and make today great, and don't be a pushover. I'll see you next time.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.